The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live. Chat, if you have an Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button directly below the screen. You can also use Critical Rock Talk in the Fortnite item shop because hashtag epic partner. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern, King Kittens.
What is up, y'all? It is another week of wrestling fun to talk about.
It is another week of wrestling fun to talk about, which means we have one, Keishi Matsunaga.
I know things about wrestling. Let's talk about that.
Well, that's good, because it's Wrestle Talk Radio, so we have to talk about wrestling on this show. And we are short one Canadian this week.
We still have one and a half.
But we're short one Canadian. But that is fine. Because we got a few things to get into tonight. It's not going to be an extremely long show. But we're going to talk about a few things on the program this evening. First off the bat, and we're going to dive deep into this on Thursday on the Rack, because we're doing the Excalibur Challenge on the Rack. We've discussed it. 30 minutes. Brent has 30 minutes, bell to bell, to talk every single match that will be added this week to All In. So it will probably be about 15 matches, I think, by the end of it.
Yeah, because they still have to add the tag team titles. They're going to probably put on two to three more pre-show matches. Yeah, it'll probably be sitting at about 14, 15 matches. It's already at 10, but...
And we got a week to go, so...
Yeah. Oh, wait, they do have the tag match listed on there already.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, because is it Triple Threat now?
Yeah, Bucks, FTR, Acclaimed, three-way.
Yeah, because there was that in the, what's it called, FTR Cost, Acclaimed their shot
right.
at the titles on...
Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
No, on Wednesday, and they had the time limit draw on Saturday.
Ah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And there's two matches for the show in 2 weeks.
I mean, at least they're putting things together. They're looking ahead, right? We talked about this last night. They're looking ahead. They're planning. They have stuff in motion. But the question for the night is, what match are you most looking forward to seeing at All In next Sunday? Keish?
I just gonna pull up the match listings just so I don't miss any.
There you go.
I feel like give me the matches. give me, here we go. Which one am I most looking forward to? Ooh, that would be good too. I think I'm gonna go, there are a lot of matches I don't mind, I'm not gonna mind watching here, but I'm gonna pick Swerve Bryan Danielson.
Why is that?
Because I think it's gonna be like brutal, and I feel like we're gonna see like, I think it's gonna be like Daniel Bryan's last hurrah as like, or as like sort of akin to like the series we saw him wrestle against, crap, I can't remember his name.
Roman?
He's an announcer, and in TNA he wrestled as Desmond Wolfe, and for some reason
Nigel McGuinness.
His real name. Yeah, so like the Bryan Danielson Nigel McGuinness type series from ROH was like super crazy, and I feel like with how they're kind of like framing Daniel Bryan's story slash sort of like last hurrah, I feel like this is going to be like, this is my one chance to go and like be the Bryan Danielson that I was of yesteryear, and to be able to like pull out all the stops, because whether he wins or loses, I think this is going to be like the peak of the mountain that is Bryan Danielson's sort of retirement. And I think after All In, it's going to start kind of like cooling off his style as he gets ready to like officially throw in the towel.
Well, with the stipulation that his career is on the line in this match, is it his last match?
I don't know that part. Like, I'm not confident as to whether or not he will win or lose, just because like, I would, the inclination of him getting that final AEW World Championship to like top off his career is definitely there, but with how he's been talking about his health and saying all the things about like he's on his retirement tour, it could go either way. So I guess from like the storyline perspective and how they're putting it together, the fact that like I'm not confident one way or another is good. I don't care either way. I think he's done enough for that company that he probably should get it at some point, but I also am okay with Swerve keeping it.
So with them putting the stipulation on it, where his putting up the career and him wanting to go part-time is which what he's talked about for a year or so now, where once this contract ended, which it did 18 days ago, that was his last wrestling contract. So currently he has no contract with AEW on paper. They have a handshake agreement, whatever, and the pay per play at this point.
Yeah.
Is it a, should they have put that stipulation on the match then?
I think at least in this situation, I don't mind it, just because especially with like all of the news that he kind of is wrestling without a contract. I don't, like I say, I don't think this is, because usually when people are like, I'm going to put my career on the line, it usually means that they're going to win. But in his case, there's a good chance that this could be it. So I think this is one of the few situations where I like, I don't mind that he said I'm putting my career on the line, because like I say, usually when they do that, you go, oh, okay, well, that means he's going to win. Whereas here, there's still like a bit of doubt because his career's up. He wants to throw in the towel. He wants to become part-time, and maybe he just goes out on his Shield at All In and just kind of, instead of going part-time, just stops altogether. Maybe something happened as far as his health is concerned that, you know, they're saying, well, you probably can't like slowly ride off in the sunset. It has to be like, that's it. It's so, kind of hard to say. So I like the stipulation being there.
Yeah, it works for the dramatics and everything. Because what do you want to believe or not, in terms of what he says on the press tours and what have you, is he needs neck surgery in December. Whether that's just him like exaggerating what his health is for more dramatics, who knows? Because we've been told by people that, you know, what he's saying one thing on interviews, and then it's the opposite of what it means on television. It could be Bryan Danielson's final match next Sunday in AEW. Yeah. Because
the one thing I don't want to see happen, though, I don't want him to win and then come out on Dynamite on Wednesday and vacate the title because he can't wrestle anymore. That is the last thing I want to see.
Yeah, that would be the worst idea. I think if he wins the belt, he'll continue, I think it's through October, to wrestle in Seattle one last time in AEW.
Yeah.
But we will see him, like, because there's multiple, we'll probably have him in All Out, Grand Slam, and then Wrestle Dream. I would think that would be the ending for the finale tour for him if he wins the world title.
Yeah.
I'm not getting Brent's opinion on this because that's Thursday. Brent.
But I will talk about what match I'm looking forward to.
That's what I was going to go ask you now. What match are you looking forward to come Sunday?
It's kind of a toss-up between the two right now. One has more, I think, story behind it, but I just don't know how into it I am of the story. And the other one is going to be just a good damn match, and it's got some heat behind it, but I hate one element of it.
Okay, give me the latter.
The latter one, the one that I hate the one element of,
yes,
is MJF Ospreay AEW International / American title.
Okay.
Because it's all going to revolve around, you know, who's going to pull out the Tiger Driver 91, because MJF is not afraid to use it. Ospreay's afraid to, and I just don't want that moment where he's sitting there conflicted and then probably eventually hits it because MJF has driven him to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather in that whole thing, because I hate when you have the one person who is essentially handcuffed by that kind of stipulation where, you know, oh, Randy Orton can't use the RKO. So, like, every time in the match he tries to go for it, it's like, no, I can't.
It's but like, it's not a stipulation, though. It's just a preference to him.
Oh, no, I get that. But it becomes, like, the big element of the match. It's like,
oh,
he's going to hook the arms, and he's going to try to go for it, but no, I can't. And then, like, MJF without feeling will be like, all right, fuck this. Boom, boom, pop, and try and drop it. But it's also one of those things of, like, stealing another person's move, okay, but I don't know. In some elements, I think it works. In this, mm-hmm. It's just a giant FU that MJF does, so it fits his character. I think just the fact that, like, we saw 60 minutes for 60 minutes' sake before,
mm-hmm.
but I think them on the stage of Wembley with the fans, I would say, fully behind Ospreay. Because as much as, you know, oh, it's cool to hate or it's cool to like MJF, I think in Wembley, because he's going in as the American champion, it's really trying to drive home that fact of, like, no, you want to, like MJF needs to worry about leaving the stadium. You know, it's that kind of thing. So I think that match in its entirety is what gets me. I think the one that I like the story that I've seen, but I just don't know if it's got the match to go with it, is Tony Storm and Mariah May. Because I think they built the story well.
I think it peaked a little early.
It peaked a little early, and I also think that it's like, I don't know if the match itself is going to be that kind of catharsis or what people want to see out of these two. Because it should be just two people without, you know, throwing caution to the wind, beating the high holy hell out of one another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we're probably going to end up getting a brief moment of that, but it will turn into a wrestling match. And the fact that Mariah May has been using the Storm Zero so much, and, you know, the hip attack, it's just that kind of thing, like, oh, but why do I need to watch two people throwing, you know, five Storm Zeros at one another? It should be that Mariah, you know, uses her finish, and it's just like, no, the Mayday is much better. And I will put you down with it.
I would like to see her become herself when this is all said and done.
I don't want her to be doing, you know, the offtake of Toni Storm when she's doing, you know, oh, her own feature release. And also, I don't want to see Mina Shirakawa get involved.
Yeah, but they're planting she's going to.
They are. And that's the problem, is it's going to be because she's probably going to side with her tag team partner. She has nothing related with Toni Storm.
Yeah.
And I think if Mariah associates with Mina Shirakawa, it just becomes another, you know, like, female 1-2 kind of combination that we've been seeing routinely from them. AEW has the problem of, like, we have one good thing, so let's keep spamming it. So
you don't say. they spam one thing over and over again.
The one thing I don't want to see is Jamie Hayter come out with Britt, or come out to, like, try and help Britt Baker. Because I think they could. I know. If you believe the talk behind the scenes, that's not going to happen. But it's also one of those things of, like bringing her back for the pop in London. I could see them doing, even though the two may not get along.
I like how we went from the Toni Storm Mariah May match to just randomly into Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter.
Well, they don't get along?
Apparently not.
No, behind the scenes, apparently the combination of those two, it was said that the feeling, the unofficial feeling is that that ship has sailed personally.
Oh, deep.
So we'll see how that unfolds. Because is Jamie Hayter even ready? That's kind of, it's been what a year.
I don't know. It's been a year, but it was a back injury, so sometimes those take longer because also, like, everything's associated with your back, and you can't, once you have that surgery, depending also, like, how extensive it is, you may not be able to do a lot of stuff initially, and then have to, like, ramp up when it comes to your training and everything. So, we don't know. I mean, hell, we had someone fighting in the main event of last year's All In, and we don't even know when he's supposed to be back. And when he does come back, we don't know what position he's going to be in, considering the guy he was supposed to feud with is heel. And he is heel.
That whole Undisputed Kingdom?
Kingdom. Oh, it's dead in the water now.
It's been dead since day one.
Oh, I get that, but it's like, at least you had something with, like, Roderick and the Kingdom, you know, with belts and, like, trying to stay relevant, and now Roderick lost his title, the Kingdom lost their titles, Wardlow is MIA. Yeah, that faction is just, I don't even know anymore.
We've talked about it multiple times on Not So Live, which will be live next Sunday after WTR Sunday night. So it'll be abbreviated WTR Sunday night next week into Not So Live, talking All In, just as a programming note for everyone. That Wardlow is like their biggest failure, I think, at this point.
Hard to argue that.
Because he was on a rise and then plateaued and then never got back. And every time they try, he just stalls. And he was one of those guys who you needed to get a world title on, and he got caught in the middle of the MJF, Punk, and Error, and Hangman, and not giving him the push that he needed, and we see where it got in him. But yeah, so All In is live next Sunday. I think it starts at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Oh.
Yeah, London start time, remember, because
yes,
Rock and I both
right.
did that over the past day. We're like, both of us at different times went, oh shit, it starts at a certain, or like, oh, this happens because it's All In is in London, damn it.
I think that's their kickoff show time, 1 Eastern.
It's probably, what, a 2-hour kickoff?
Probably 2 hours. So main show will start 3 to 7, I would assume that's how that's going to work. I haven't seen any graphics to tell me any differently. If the main show is starting at... Okay, is there, what, a 5-hour difference?
Hang on.
I think there are a 5-hour difference. So that would be 6 p.m. local there. Or are they 6 right now? This is where I'm filling the time for Brent to Google.
5 hours. So London is 5 hours ahead of East Coast.
Okay, so that would be a 6 p.m. local start. So that would make sense, because that's what time it is usually here, 6 p.m. local. Well, I've been starting 6:30, but I can do 6 local there, leading into the pay-per-view at 8 p.m. local, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Run for four hours,
and that would take it to 7. Wardlow's not even their Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler at least got a world title. So yeah, so that's all that's coming up. But moving away from AEW, there's stuff that's been happening in the world of wrestling entertainment, and it's been the rise of two different stars in two different manners. And the first one is Big Bronson Reed. Over the last 2 weeks has been given the push of a lifetime, and it started with his attack on Seth freaking Rollins. What did we think of that moment, and what happened this past Monday, taking out Miz, and especially R-Truth, and where do we kind of see Bronson kind of falling right now, guys?
Well, I think taking out Seth served two purposes. One, there's the rumor going around that Seth may have tweaked or injured or may have not been fully prepared for SummerSlam. So that's able to kind of write him off a little bit, let him heal, let him, you know, get away. And the attack on him, made Bronson kind of look like a big deal, because you're taking out, you know, your two times removed world champion, the guy who held the belt for, what was it, like 200 days in his first reign? Or in his reign, I should say. I mean, he took out Seth Rollins, and it was all just one move, the tsunami. And it's showing the fact of, like, it's one of those kinds of things, like, you kind of take for granted the fact of, okay, yeah, it's kind of like the World's Strongest Slam. Like, the move, overall, you're kind of like, okay, it's just a big splash. Or for the World's Strongest Slam, it's okay, it's just a, you know, front slam. But when you have someone that's the size of Mark Henry or Bronson Reed delivering it, it ramps it up a bit. It had some impact. So the fact that he goes out and lands six tsunamis on Seth Rollins, and that, you know, a sea of referees cannot stop him, or even if they are in the way, he will just splash through them onto Seth Rollins and create collateral damage, it takes Bronson Reed up a notch from where he was going into, like, things like the Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber, where it's like, okay, big Bronson Reed. And I know he missed the Elimination Chamber match with the birth of his son, or the birth of his child, I should say. But at least with this, they're taking someone of that size and they're making them feel like a big deal, which is kind of what you need on, you need someone to be that kind of like monster on Raw to help elevate things.
Yeah. How do you think they've handled it so far, Keish?
I mean, lately they've been doing a really good job with him. I mean, although, like, in general, like, since he kind of made his debut on Raw, he hasn't been, like, wasted per se, is more just kind of underutilized. Maybe they brought him up and didn't have a whole lot ready for him to do. But now I think they've kind of figured it out, and I think they're doing a good job with him, especially when you have a man of that size whose finisher is a top rope splash, and then he gets up and he hits these guys over and over and over, and all security can do is just, like, stand there and watch and be like, well, it's him or me. I'm interested. It's kind of, it has my attention. I kind of want to see how they progress with it, and I hope that they kind of stay the course, because, like, he has the demeanor, and he carries himself in a way to be, like, a big bad man, and, like, believable. So I'm enjoying it. I want to see more of it. I'm excited for him to crush more people.
So the next question would be, what do you see as a ceiling in terms of what makes this push, like, as an overall success? Is it a championship? Is it a top tier main events? What would you consider this to be successful?
I need this to be a sustained push. I don't want to say, you know, oh, it needs to be a championship in 3 months, because there's also Gunther sitting there, and I kind of go, I don't know if I want Gunther to have that. Or, you know, I don't want it to be you build up big Bronson Reed and then feed him to Bron Breakker to make him look, to make Braun kind of look better and imposing, taking down big Bronson Reed. I want something where Bronson takes out, and I don't mean, like, just by injury, I mean, like, he defeats Seth Rollins in a match, and you can carry him forward. I think he could be something along the lines of a, you know, mid-card or even holding the world title. Not for a long time, but I could see him kind of like a Mark Henry-style reign.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be a, you know, Seth Rollins, Gunther, Roman Reigns-style reign. It can be one of those 2 or 3 month reigns, boom, drop the belt. But I need something where it's bronze. It's not just, you know, oh, hey, look, he got the world title. Okay, he held it for 3 months. Okay, he dropped it. And then now he's going to end up in, you know, mid-card hell kind of flounder. I think it's one of those, like, I just want to see sustained push for him. Because I saw him with the North American title in NXT. And it's like, when he held that belt, it was like, okay, yeah, you kind of made it. And you look good doing it. And that's what people have wanted to see on the main roster from him. So I see his ceiling as, you know, I don't see him as being, you know, a face of the company. I think he can be a champion, but I just want him to be a presence there, a legitimate presence.
Mm-hmm. I would like to see this built slowly. I want them to kind of take their time. I know they don't need to do it so much as, like, establishing him as a talent, as much as, like, I want to see them, like, reinforcing what, how they're trying to portray him as this big, mean dude who just doesn't give a crap and basically kind of goes around just taking out guys. Like you say, like, it gives some of the upper talent who may not be in the title picture because we maybe don't want to see them there at this point. It gives those guys another dude to have a non-title feud with for the time being, and they can put him over, or they can, you know, it's one of those things where he like beats the holy heck out of them and they get lucky. So then, you know, it keeps him strong, but also doesn't necessarily, he's not like just manhandling guys like Seth Rollins and making them look bad. I think they can take their time, and I think like he could be one of those guys where they build him up, get him that Intercontinental or mid-card title, depending on where he ends up at the time, and then he can kind of carry that for a bit as like just a big guy that, you know, lots of people try to take down but can't. And then at some point, I think he could get a world title run, but like you say, not for long, just like kind of like a Mark Henry style run. I fully agree with that.
Well, there's one feud, honestly, I would love to see both of these guys kind of enter, because they both could just be kind of angry at the world badasses, and it would be a hard-hitting feud, and it would be an interesting dynamic of how they would take each other on. Picture him and Drew in kind of in a feud, because I could see the whole thing of Drew, like, I could drop the Claymore on you at any point, and Bronson's just like, yeah, but if you end up on your back, you're going to have 400 pounds on you. And it's just all of a sudden, yeah, it's these two guys that are just angry at the world that just would want to beat the high holy hell out of one another going at one another. And you could do either dynamic of like, okay, one's a face, one's a heel, and it would be believable. And then you also have all the, Sheamus is on Raw, right?
Yep.
Yep.
You got Sheamus sitting out there too, which is the same kind of dynamic. So, but it's like, I like the idea of like having like big guys kind of being able to feud, but it's also because things like Bronson has proven that he's an agile big guy, kind of like Keith Lee was, even though we don't ever see Keith Lee anymore.
That's health reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's that kind of thing, like when you have a big guy that can move that way, kind of like Vader did back in the day, it's like, oh, that changes everything.
It does. So think about the like this. Say he takes out Rollins and gets a clean win over him, and you're kind of elevating him to a point. Mm-hmm. At that point, he may just be on the wrong brand, because you got two guys on SmackDown where he would fit perfectly into feuds.
Cody
or LA Knight. Two baby faces that could use an opponent like that. Once you've established him, trade him to SmackDown, let him be positioned there, because I think he would benefit most being the guy who faces a babyface champion. And right now on Raw, you got heel champions.
Yeah, and your next contender for the IC title is going to be the plucky underdog already.
Mm-hmm. So he would fit better on SmackDown, because right now on Raw, he's third, fourth, fifth heel. On SmackDown, sans bloodline, he would fit right in.
Yeah, but I mean, that kind of goes back to, like, you can slowly build him up and have work with guys like Rollins, Sheamus, Drew at some point whenever he's done with CM Punk or whoever else, and like a couple other guys, to the point where once the draft comes around again, then put him on SmackDown and have him go up against some of those guys.
Yeah, I think before that, I think you may get a trade. I think there's trades coming probably in December. Just called a hunch.
I
think it needs to be. From our current climate right now, like, I know that you've got the bloodline facing, you know, the kind of, you know, the Cody faction, and then you've got Roman that just came back, who's going to be dismantling the bloodline or building up his own. But yeah, it feels like you do need to kind of shift a little bit, because
It doesn't say anything, but all the Netflix advertising had the bloodline in the Raw graphic at Fanatics Fan Fest this weekend.
Ah.
Well, you had the bloodline and Charlotte, who are SmackDown people, on the Raw on Netflix. I mean, Just
also, I think, at least for the first two Raws, there may be everything on the table.
Yeah.
You're getting Cena. You're getting everything thrown at that.
Cena and Dwayne are incoming in January, yeah.
And it's all, but I mean, also look at the fact it's, what is it, October? You know, you're starting to throw big names at CW as well. CW in Chicago, CM Punk, CW in St. Louis. Oh, Randy's going to make an appearance.
Yep. Yeah. So that's a thing.
But I mean, it makes it a big deal for those things because, of course, you know, with the CW, it's you're going to a brand new network. You're going on the road and you're taking kind of a big chance putting your, you know, third brand kind of off on its own on the regular channels. So yeah, you want to throw everything you can at it, and then you're taking a big foray into a new streaming platform with Netflix. So yeah, you're going to put everybody out there.
And then there's SmackDown. And there's SmackDown back on USA Network in a month.
Yeah. But that's all right.
Yeah. There will be, 3 weeks where everything is on USA. And then everything...
And then it all goes in directions.
And then NXT leaves first, and then you have Raw and SmackDown for 2 months after that.
Until January.
Until January, yeah. But Bronson Reed's not the only one getting a push on Monday Night Raw. There's a new day? Yes, it is?
Yes, there... Well...
I mean, maybe...
For two-thirds of it, it's a new day. For one-third of it, it looks like he wants the old day.
So, Odyssey Jones is the factor. The big O, as it were. What were we thinking about Odyssey Jones now back in the foray on Monday Night Raw and kind of being buddy-buddy with Kofi and Woods going, okay?
Okay. I mean, it's nice to realize that Raw remembered Odyssey Jones.
400 and something days after being drafted.
That was one of those things where, yeah, he got drafted and everyone kind of went, oh, okay. That was one of those surprising picks that come up every draft. I think a little bit of, you know, Blair Davenport with the most recent draft, you kind of went, that wasn't a name I expected getting moved up, but okay. And yeah, for an entire year, like, we heard nothing from him. I mean, he did some main event, and I think there was an injury for part of it, but it was still like, dude got drafted and he just disappeared. We just didn't know what happened. And so now you've got this whole thing with the Final Testament and the fact that there's essentially, you know, three wrestlers in that group, but there was only two of the New Day, and for all intents and purposes, I don't think we're getting a Big E anytime soon, if ever again,
I think he's very happy what he's doing right now.
I think this is one of those situations where the WWE is doing the Corey Graves treatment and is just, we're doing what's best for you. So, you know, be the commentator, be the public, or, you know, the media person. And like you said, it works great for him because he gets to travel. He still gets to be involved. He's still there. But he gets to be safe and prolong his life and career in a new way, essentially.
Yeah, which is good for him.
Which is very important.
I think he's pretty happy with how things are going for himself, too. So
yeah, he has no regrets, and he's happy in the roles they're giving him. And
I think he's made peace with that idea of, like, I think when it first happened, it's probably like, oh, well, maybe I'll get, you know, I can get back. And it's just a matter of, you know, as we always say when it comes to neck injuries, and this can relate to someone else, when you get a neck injury like that, sometimes all it can take is one really bad bump on a surgically repaired neck, and you're screwed.
And the fact that he's living a healthy and happy life, why risk that sort of thing? He's been an athlete. He knows where his limits are, and being able to walk around and be happy, I think, you know, he's made his money. He had success. And
he still does, you know, he still gets to go out and do college game days. He still gets to do the pre and post shows, and he's got a personality which just exudes,
which is great for him. Yeah, the pre and post for him, that's a great role. They needed some energy in that role, and with the way they're shaping those shows now, he fits in perfect.
It's a great counter to Wade Barrett. Well, it's great because Wade Barrett can sit there and scream about CM Punk being fired, and I can't believe that he would do such a thing. And Big E could be that perfect kind of foil of like, what do you mean? Like, do you not remember that, like, Drew made his life a living hell for 6 months? And, you know, Wade can just do the kind of like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like,
yeah,
no, bro. So, yeah, he gets to be that perfect kind of baby face. Or, you know, he can do his, you know, top five at the end of every pay-per-view to kind of be the recap. He's a much better Booker T.
I was just about to say he's everything they wanted Booker T to be, but actually is.
And let me just put this out there. We're not saying that because of certain things. It's just, you know, former professional wrestler.
Yeah. Well, and just his, like, the way he carries himself and his charisma.
Oh, yeah.
Just his personality works more for the role that they wanted Booker T to play than Booker T. I'm not saying Booker T is not entertaining. Booker T, when he wrestled, did some of the, like, the things that he did is some of the things that, like, I will never forget. Like, King Booker, the Supermarket Brawl, all that other stuff, great. But for the role that they want him to have in the pre and post and all that stuff, he's not the guy to do that role the way that I think that they're looking for. And Big E totally is.
And as I mentioned before, he is a perfect ambassador for the company as well, which is great away from the ring, because you can send him to go do stand-ups wherever. He can do media, and he's savvy enough to know, like, what to say. He doesn't need a lot of coaching. He can bring the passion and the energy that's going to hype people, and it, you know, it'll draw eyes and draw attention the way that it needs to. Like, I keep going back to College Inn, but I just remember, you know, when they were in Iowa, and he comes out in the overalls, and, like, the students are going nuts, and he's just feeding off it, and they're feeding off of him. And it's like, yes, that's how this should be. Let Pat just run with that kind of thing on a Saturday morning as well, and then you get to drop, you know, oh, yeah, he's with the WWE, and don't forget, there's a show coming up. It's great for everyone involved.
Yeah, he plays it's a very good role for him.
But back to the topic at hand of Odyssey Jones.
Oh, yeah.
I think this can kind of serve as, I mean, he's a big, imposing guy, which, no offense, Kofi and Xavier are not. Xavier is physically fit. Kofi is your high flyer. I think with that dynamic we've seen, you need that kind of, like, imposing presence to kind of help. And especially if you're going up against the Testament, you need a big dude that can take on, you know, the Authors of Pain by himself if need be. But it introduces that kind of interesting dynamic that they've been hinting at in the Final Testament feud of, like, Kofi is doing this without Woods. Now, he's doing it for the betterment of everyone. We're not saying, you know, he's trying to write Woods off, but it's the thing of, like, yeah, Kofi brought in Odyssey to help out, and you see that look on Xavier's face of, like, wait, like, you didn't call me about this at all? You didn't say, hey, you know, we're thinking about doing this?
Is Odyssey Jones the New Day's draws?
I mean, or Heidenreich in a sense.
Are we gonna see Xavier Woods fall off the Tron?
Oh god
no. Why did you bring that back into existence?
Because it's funny.
Damn you. No, I don't think it's going down that road.
No.
I mean, he may be their crush.
Ooh.
More than anything, but
I just meant, like, there seem to be some parallels to the draws joining LOD storyline of, like, Hawk / Woods getting low-key jealous at bringing in some new blood, and it may go that way and it may not. We'll have to see.
I don't know necessarily if it's jealousy on that. I think it's more just the fact of, like I said, it's this idea of, hey, you're kind of doing this without talking. Like, usually we've been boys. We've been, you know, like, we do all this stuff together. And you're kind of lone wolfing this in a sense.
Mm-mm.
Now, what I really hope is that this doesn't lead to the New Day breakup.
Yeah.
So,
because I like the overall dynamic that they have. I just don't want it to be like, okay, we're going to use this to quote unquote drive the wedge. And then it's going to be, we're working towards Kofi versus Xavier, because I don't know if the singles feud between them is going to, like, if fans are going to Marty Jannetty one of them.
No, I don't think they end up doing that, because I don't think either one wants to do that, and I don't think
Hunter wants to do that.
Would do that. My final comment would be, do you have Big E return to television to endorse Odyssey? To kind of put, you know, Woods' mind at ease that he's not being replaced, but he's also endorsed.
If they want to lean towards, like, Odyssey Jones as, you know, a permanent extension member of the New Day, I think you have to. If you are only seeing him as, like, a temporary stand-in, then you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it depends on the direction that they go. If the idea is to keep Odyssey Jones as a member of the New Day, and that will kind of depend on, like, his personality, and I'm sure we'll see that in the coming weeks. Because, like, even if Kofi's bringing him in as the heavy, I don't think storyline-wise Kofi is bringing him in as, like, the new Big E, because storyline or not, everybody knows that, like, nobody's going to be able to replace the personality that Big E brought to that group.
Yeah. I think if you wanted to, this is how you kind of make the announcement about Big E. I know that everyone kind of knows, you know, we understand what the situation is with Big E, but I think this can be that opportunity where he treats Woods as kind of the fans in that moment of, like, hey, you guys really need help. I can't be there. As much as I want to be there in your corner, I cannot do that. But he can, and I believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that kind of thing. Like, I think in that moment, like you said, it can kind of gel for Woods, and it will gel for the public in general of, like, okay, if you're saying he's good, if you're saying, like, you're cool with this, then I'm down. Let's roll.
Yeah.
And as I said, that can serve as kind of that visual marker of, like, yeah, in this situation, like, we're not going to get Big E. As much as people may want it, as much as they may be like, hey, you know, there is a chance he can come back. This can be that moment where you're going, but probably not.
There you go. We'll see what happens as we roll on. I think there's a 6-man tag tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. But with that, we're done. That's an hour. We got the topics that were put together. So that's it for WTR tonight. Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, it's Raw Post Show live at 11 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, it's The Rack featuring the Excalibur Challenge, which means Brent's there.
Oh, I will be there, and I have opinions.
Yes, 30 minutes to get them all out. Live, 10 p.m.
No, Eastern. It's all in. I have 30 minutes to get them
to
all
get them
in.
All in.
You see what I did there.
That's why we pay him the big buck.
Wait, I get paid?
In time. So yeah, 10 p.m. Music Excalibur Challenge for All In. Because he's working, there's no GM battles this Friday. But Game Night returns Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, followed by CB Raider Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We're doing ChatGPT says ECW Superstars. So that should be a fun time to have by all. Next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, we will preview in a quick fashion Bash in Berlin, because I don't know how, because we'll have hopefully all 5-6 matches. The other will run through predictions next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once that's done, we'll be live with CP Radio, not so live, talking AEW All In. That's the plan. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. It's at Flames Forums. Follow Tim, talk to Tim, all the things. Cash socials.
You can find me if you look for @KyleDriver on social medias, and there's one there, it's probably me. If not, it's probably not me, because I'm not there.
Not there yet. Brent.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, X, Instagram, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. It's one of those two that's going to be there. I'm working on it. What can I say?
There you go. Chad, if you have the Amazon Prime link, search for his account called Prime Gaming Support Channel. Click the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit card Rocket Sock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy your battle passes, your Deadpools, your Wolverines, your, I don't know, some new artist X-Men. Is in X-Men. There's an artist in there. There's a new
Carol G.
Carol G. I don't know, so much. There's Star Tour things.
Oh yeah, there's the two skins for Star Wars, IG, I think 8, and Giancarlo Esposito's character.
Chicken guy. It's all in there. Hashtag epic partner. We'll see you when we see you along the airwaves. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.